When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I'm your host, Mimi Lawson, and I have a plethora of guests with me this morning. Let's talk about first who's on the phone. Stacey Kemp and Rob Green from the law firm Kemp, Ruge & Green. Thank you for coming in and joining us this morning.
Absolutely. We're excited to be here.
In the studio this morning, we have Lauren Oliver. You're the Senior Market Manager and the Community Events Manager. Is that your title?
Yes, Senior Market Manager.
And Michelle Stembler?
Yes.
And what do you do for the American Cancer Society?
I am the Program Manager for Mission Delivery here in the Pinellas County area.
And then we also have Jennifer Howell with us, who we have talked many, many times before. How many years have you been involved in this?
This is my third year involvement with STRIDES.
Okay. We say STRIDES. Let's tell them what we're talking about.
Making Strides Against Breast Cancer.
These walkathons is basically what they are. Mm-hmm. Have been going on for how many years now?
More years than I can count. Many years.
How did you guys get involved, Stacey? How long have you been involved in the Strides Against Breast Cancer?
Actually, our first year
sponsoring
the Making Strides for Pasco County. We've been involved in many other events regarding cancer, but this is our first year with this event.
And what made you guys decide to get involved with the Making Strides Walk?
Is the biggest event that we have in Pasco County for breast cancer. And with the involvement that we've had in the past through the Relay for Life, we did four of those last year, three the year before. We're very involved in those events, basically with our experience and the way we know that these our contributions help the community and help the people that are suffering. We knew that this is an event that we definitely wanted to be a part of.
And you say Pasco County because there are not just one walk. They're all over this area, aren't they, Jennifer?
There are. Pasco, Pinellas, Hillsboro, Holt in this immediate area. But then, of course, we have them statewide.
Well, I know that I have been to this Pasco walk many times before. In fact, I don't know if you remember, I had actually taken my Great Dane up there and she had a pink shirt on because I didn't realize before this that the dogs also get breast cancer and she had a breast cancer and had it successfully treated, lived another couple of years.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, I thought it was kind of funny. I don't know how people felt about it at the time, but it was interesting to be able to say that all this research that you do doesn't just help people, it helps everybody.
No, we refer to that sometimes as our one degree, which is the idea that we are all one degree removed from cancer.
Right.
And, you know, we talk about it in terms of people, but I suppose you could think of it in terms of animals as well,
right,
that we're all touched by cancer.
It's absolutely true. And I can imagine, you know, back in the old days, because my grandmother used to talk about this, that the cancer was one of those things you did not talk about in a room. It was a very hush-hush thing. And so do you think that part of this getting involved with the breast cancer walks and the things that you do has not only made money for you, but demystified this whole disease?
I think that's a huge point, Mimi. And I think it's something that we're all gratified to hear about because I grew up the same way. My grandmother had breast cancer and she didn't tell any about it.
Right. It was
we
an embarrassing
talk
thing.
About it. She mm-hmm. was uncomfortable. She was just very squeamish about those conversations. And I like to think that with every generation, we're becoming more and more comfortable. And now it's something that women talk about, men talk about, kids talk about. My daughter is very aware of our family history. And hopefully, like you said, we're sort of demystifying at least the idea that we can talk about it publicly.
Well, and of course, it being breast cancer and it being women. But, you know, one of the things I learned from your guys' walks is that not just women get breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Men are also diagnosed with breast cancer. And we have several programs that can obviously assist with those that have been diagnosed, whether male or female.
And we've got Stacey Kemp on the phone and Rob Green as well. What made you then decide, well, okay, that we need to get involved with the walk as opposed to some of the other things that you mentioned that you were involved with before?
We've had some personal experience with this. I've had former employees and stuff, and the walk for Relay for Life opened my eyes to the awareness of the need of help. So we're then happy to make the sponsorship contributions because it's just necessary. If you go to an event like that and you don't become involved, I can't see how that can happen.
Yeah, I can't either. In fact, the ladies that are in the studio this morning, we were talking about this. I know that the walk in Pinellas County was yesterday. So if you happen to be out there and saw that, it's hard not to get involved after that, isn't it?
That's very true.
It's super true. You know, no matter how many people it affects, until they find a cure for the problem, it's just the awareness and the you take it personal. We're happy to help. I wish more people could come out and help, even if it's a little bit. You know, you don't have to be a premier sponsor. I think sometimes people forget that those $10 donations, those $20 donations, they all add up. In the end. So.
And I think, too, that I know a lot of people are sometimes uncomfortable about asking other people for money, for example, to do, you know, the Strides walks, for example, to go out and ask for money. But again, as Rob mentioned, $5, $10 or just coming out and being at those events can help a lot as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's if you have the money to donate and to support this event, that's wonderful. Even if you come and volunteer and help support this event, it's still a great impact on what the American Cancer Society is trying to do in the fight against breast cancer. And I think to the point Jen was making before, that even if you're someone that keeps this more personal to you and close to the heart, or you're someone that wears your survivorship as a badge of honor, this event can offer all of those different things for you, whether you just want to make an impact on research, or if you want to go and get that peer-to-peer support, or caregivers get support. So really, the event can offer a lot of different things to really anyone going through their cancer journey.
And I think anymore, it's very difficult not to be affected by this disease around you somehow. I mean, really, is there anybody in this room or on the phone who has not known somebody who's been affected by this disease?
I think, yes, we've all been affected by it. And I think the more that we get involved in this event and try to get others involved in this event and volunteer with the event, we find out how true that often is.
Rob, I know that you guys, this is the first year that you've been involved in this event. So when you decided to do that, besides getting a team together, which is what I imagine that you're going to do, and of course, we would love to see you in the pink bra too. Are you going to be doing that?
Well, let's put it this way. I'll be wearing pink.
Oh, okay. We could bring you a pink bra out there, Rob. We could do that for you.
Go ahead and do it. I'll take a picture with you.
Or a pink boa. Yeah. Either one.
You know what, though? I have faith in people when they see other people down like that, and they need to find a cure for things like this. So I'm hoping that anybody that's within your thing base would do that. You know, it's not for me. I don't need it personally. Thank God my wife doesn't. You know, we've been trying to make the children aware just so that they understand that, you know, one meal, even a McDonald's meal nowadays is, you know, that much. Give it up for one day and give somebody else a shot. You know, it changes lives.
And the walk that you're talking about is the Pasco walk, and that's at the Shops at Wiregrass, correct? And what day is that?
The Pasco event that I'm talking about is at the Shops at Wiregrass on October 24th.
Let's talk about the other walks. Now, the Pinellas one just happened in Vinoy Park yesterday. Mm-hmm. What a great venue. Yeah, what else is coming up? What are the other walks?
We have the Hillsborough County Walk, which is on the 24th. And the Sarasota Manatee County Walk.
These are all on the 24th. The Pasco and the Hillsborough are also on the 24th.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Okay, so Pasco is at Wiregrass. Where is the Hillsborough Walk?
Hillsborough Walk is at Amalie Arena, right in downtown Tampa.
And when do they start?
Typically, opening ceremonies start around 8:30. Between 8:30 and 9, it varies slightly by the event.
Besides just coming out and say, perhaps giving $5 or $10 or whatever, say you do want to get the team together, how's that process go?
Yeah, the first step really is just to go to our Making Strides Walk website, which is makingstrideswalk.org. You can search for your local community on the website and find the nearest walk to you. However, if you were interested in getting involved or still learning more about the Pinellas Walk, it's makingstrideswalk.org/Pinellas, or for Pasco, makingstrideswalk.org/Pasco.
There's a thing that you were going to talk about that I'm not familiar. What is Road to Recovery?
Well, Road to Recovery is actually one of our signature patient services, and it's a curb-to-curb service where we have volunteer drivers that are trained that will take patients to and from their cancer treatment.
Wow, that's great.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful service, and you know, the money that we're helping to raise here at the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer's events all throughout the Tampa Bay, the greater Tampa Bay community, helped to make this program happen. And it's really helping folks get well by overcoming that barrier of transportation to get to their treatment.
I've been seeing on TV ads that you have about breast cancer where they basically are saying, don't go through this alone, that you'll send somebody out to you. Diagnosis has happened. And I think a lot of people, even though there is so much more awareness, like we talked about, Jennifer, the people are just shocked. They're in shock, literally, at the time. Is that also part of this road to recovery?
Road to recovery, we have so many passionate volunteers that are a part of this program, whether they've been a caregiver or a friend of someone that's been diagnosed. A lot of times they're cancer survivors themselves. And so just through that program, when they're just showing up at that patient's house, offering a smiling face, welcoming them into their vehicle, and just driving them to their treatment. Obviously, natural conversation starts to happen.
Right.
And there's definitely a bond that can be formed that way. And just talking with somebody that's going through this treatment. And like you said, they're in a state of shock. And so, you know, providing that friendly face and being able to help as they're driving them to their treatment really, truly makes a difference. We also have a really wonderful program called Reach to Recovery. And Reach to Recovery is a peer-to-peer support program where we have trained breast cancer survivors who will talk, who are matched with patients who are just being newly diagnosed, potentially facing a possible breast cancer diagnosis or a cancer reoccurrence. And we'll match them with a breast cancer survivor in their community. And they can talk, ask questions. They can provide resources, information, guidance, all those types of things through a visit either face-to-face, on the phone, or via email.
We have talked so many times on this program that there is nothing more important, nothing more valuable than being able to talk to somebody who's gone through exactly the same thing that you have.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible for me who have I've never been through breast cancer. I've got to say, luckily, knock on wood, have never known anybody who's been diagnosed with breast cancer. There's no way that I could turn to you or you that has had breast cancer before and say, I know how you're feeling, because I don't. So to have that resource is unbelievably valuable.
To your point, you can now give them something and you can give them a resource. And that is by letting them know about Reach to Recovery or Road to Recovery and some of the other great programs and services the American Cancer Society has available. So even if you haven't been through that experience, you can always sympathize and give them a great resource that they didn't know about before your conversation. And that's what I think is so wonderful about educating our community about what the American Cancer Society has to offer, because it gives them that additional helping hand that they didn't have before.
In the time that you've been involved, for example, Jennifer, how have you seen treatments change, outcomes change? Obviously, from what I've heard, the life expectancy has really skyrocketed.
Oh, it's really amazing to see. I think it goes back to what we were talking about, you know, at the very beginning, because I think all of those things are connected. The more we can talk about it, the more we share information, the more comfortable people are sharing that information. And of course, we're seeing the research developing, new treatments, new opportunities, new hopes. And ultimately, I think we would all be very comfortable, those of us who are here today, in saying we'd like to be out of a job.
Right.
We really and truly would.
I
think it would make us all very happy to be unemployed. If that's the reason why.
Right.
If we continue to grow and support our researchers, support our scientists who are out there every single day, 24/7, trying to find a cure for this, because it's what it's all about.
Right. And I think all kinds of cancers have really seen a real change in that. I mean, cancer in general used to be a death sentence. And I'm not saying that people don't die every single day of breast cancer and other kinds of cancers, but the outcomes are so much more positive now than they were decades ago.
Yes. It's really amazing. And those conversations are a huge reason why, because we know how effective early detection can be.
Right.
And the more people are comfortable with this, the more they're talking about it, the more they're getting help, they're getting their screenings done. And we're finding these things early enough where we have hope now, like you said, because it's not diagnosed at the very end.
Right. I saw something on Facebook the other day, another woman that I'm familiar with that is really involved with the American Cancer Society and with breast cancer specifically. And she had put up a list of things, pain in the breast, different symptoms, redness of the breast, some of the things, and I consider myself pretty knowledgeable about this, that I wasn't aware of.
One of the best resources that we would encourage people to do is to come to our website, which is cancer.org, cancer.org. And you can search by pretty much any search name that you have. If you're looking for symptoms of a particular type of cancer, it's all there. I think we've all had experiences when you sort of get out online and find yourself clicking into one website or another. And there's a lot of information out there that is very scary, and it's not always scientifically based. It's not always research based.
And that's what worried me, because like I said, you know, a lot of things that you see online, as you mentioned, are not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. But there were things in this particular post that this woman put up there that I wouldn't have thought were symptoms of possible breast cancer. So that was the thing I thought was really interesting about it.
And it's really important to be aware of those. And it's very important also to be aware with breast cancer, as with different types of cancers. Sometimes the symptoms are different for women than they are for men.
Like heart attacks.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. And so it's really important to stay educated about what those symptoms are. And I mean, I'm not a doctor. I certainly don't want to present that. But I think the best advice that anybody can give is, if you're having any symptom that is concerning to you, that is worrisome, that's different, that just doesn't
seem right,
call your doctor and ask, because you're far better off hearing, no, you know what, that's perfectly normal, you're fine.
You're right.
That to me is
sorry.
Worth a copay for the doctor.
Yes, it is. You're right about that.
And I think to Jennifer's point, going to cancer.org, even as kind of in advance of feeling anything that doesn't feel right, there's a lot of great prevention and early detection information on the website. So things that maybe you should just note to self and tell your friends about, that, you know, getting your yearly mammogram after the age of 40, and to really make sure that you're doing yourself breast exams and being your own health advocate, as Jen was saying. That's why we've seen the 35% decrease since 1989.
That's what I wanted to hear. 35% decrease in deaths? Is that what you're saying?
That would be 224,000 lives saved. So it really is fantastic.
I just got chills.
But that really does come from being your own health advocate and making sure that you're really keeping in mind prevention and early detection and finding cancer early. And as she was saying, we are not doctors, and we certainly do not want to present to be, but there are some great general facts that you can know as an individual to make sure that you're keeping your health in mind.
And you're saying go to cancersociety.org? Is that what you said?
Simply cancer.org.
It's cancer.org. Couldn't be easier than that, could it? Rob, I want to ask you one more time. Not that I want you to put a challenge necessarily out there, but what would you say to other companies that are possibly thinking that where could we put our money where our mouth is?
I'd say, why not?
Right.
Why not? I mean, like I said, it doesn't have to be thousands and thousands of dollars, although that'd be nice. It's just imperative that we that have the means to do so act. Otherwise, we're just dead weight. I mean, I'm a guy. I'm going to get checked myself this Friday.
Are you?
Appointment. For skin stuff, I'm kind of fair. But yeah, why wouldn't companies do that? I think recognition is why there's so much awareness. And so literally, hopefully, we've helped to raise some recognition, and you guys, gals, have helped to raise recognition and stuff. And hopefully that recognition alone will you know, capture a couple of these people with the ability to bring. Any of us, especially the people having to go through the cancer treatment themselves, would, you know, if they knew what it entailed, the people that it hasn't affected, I think they'd be happily handing over, you know, money to help with research and care and cancer.
Are you guys getting a team together to be walking at the shops at Wiregrass?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah,
that sounds
we'll
great.
My partners will be there. Yeah, our kids will be there.
You know, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I think that is really important, Rob, is that you've demystified this from a small age, that this, you know, that's how we really need, that's my opinion, to raise our kids anyway, is to be globally aware, to be aware of other people, aware of what does go on in, you know, in the world, and that, not that you want to like bum them out because they're kids, but for them to understand that there are these causes and that there are things that they can do about them, about it, even as young children.
Yep. I love that thought. It does actually matter. My daughter's 11 years old, and I can remember her. They're more into animals at a young age like that. But she was upset about an animal that we had something like that.
Right.
And so she's been on a kick about becoming a veterinarian because she's kind and wants to help.
Right.
So if children, who are the future of tomorrow, if at a young age, if they're affected or if they just see the people that it affects and how much it affects their life, even getting there when you guys were talking about transportation there, who wants to go uneducated? Who wouldn't want to have spoken with somebody that had this disease and beat it and
right.
that stuff if you were diagnosed with the same? But even at the young age, children awareness in some aspects sparks an interest in helping people. That's why my children have gone to different events other than breast cancer awareness events, but Special Olympics events and stuff. So if people just, again, took a couple of minutes to just learn or again, become acclimated with what the cause is here, I don't see how you can't get involved because it is super important to bunches of people. I know men sometimes, you know, I've got a lot of ladies on the line there. You know, from a men's perspective, I know there's plenty of men that'll sit around and say, well, how's this going to affect me? You know, there's a very low incidence with regard to ratios of men to women with breast cancer. However, most of us have spouses, and it affects everybody when it affects anybody. So, again, getting involved is the only option. That's why we're here. We hope to be able to remain here for until they find a cure.
Right.
That would be our hope.
Yeah, so. Ours too. And, you know, let's talk about what happens at the walks, because I think that, you know, Rob bringing up the fact that he takes his kids there, that if you've never been to one of these walks, it is not a Debbie Downer thing at all.
No, it is not.
No, it is not. Let's talk about some of the things, that, you know, let's just go through a day of a walk.
Well, it's absolutely amazing to be there and see it. I think that if you think you're going to go and stand back and sort of observe, it kind of doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't.
Because
no,
if
it
nothing
doesn't.
Else, they won't let you do
Mm-mm.
that because it's very uplifting. It's very vibrant. There's a lot of energy that happens there.
There is.
You know, we have a lot of activities for survivors, and right. we want to always recognize our survivors, to honor our survivors. And that is an especially meaningful part of our opening ceremony as well, because not only do they deserve our support and our love and our recognition and our admiration, but they can also serve as models for those of us who have not walked that walk yet.
Right.
Or who are just taking our first steps. And we can see all of these people at these walks, and maybe they have pink balloons, but we can look at them and think, oh my gosh, they made it.
Well, in the last walk that I was at, there was a woman who had just finished her treatment literally the day before and was up on stage. And, you know, like I say, you kind of expect that there's going to be a lot of, oh, poor me, poor. There is none of that. I didn't see any of that. There is just such an excitement and a positivity about from the survivors, from the people that are around there. It is like a huge pink pep rally.
That is exactly what it is. Yeah. It is a pep rally. There's that level of energy. And I think it speaks to the idea that we're not walking alone.
Right.
That if you do find yourself on this road, you don't have to walk by yourself.
I love that. I love the idea of this road to recovery. I love that you have reached out in that respect and given that resource to people so that they don't feel like they're on this road alone, because I can't even imagine somebody telling me that I would have a diagnosis of cancer like that. And as many friends as I have, I, like I said, fortunately have not had a friend who's been through this. So I think that my first reaction would be, oh, who do I talk to?
Absolutely. I think a great point to make to that would be, certainly, we appreciate anyone that has the funds to make a donation and to support monetarily, but also you can support with your time and make a difference. And volunteering for Road to Recovery is a great way to do that, by giving of your time and your support to drive someone to and from their treatment is a huge gift of support that we certainly are in need. So whether you're someone in need of a ride, we want to make sure that that's available to you. But if you're also someone that has a little bit of an extra time to take someone to and from their treatments, we really appreciate your donation of service as well.
Because I think a lot of people do think, well, I don't have a lot of extra money, so I have nothing to give. And that is just not true.
Not true at all. And just like Lauren was saying, being able to provide your time is amazing. It's huge, especially with this Road to Recovery program. And just like you said, when someone's been diagnosed with cancer, they're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get to all of these treatments? How am I going to make it to these doctor's appointments? And the Road to Recovery program allows our volunteers to help try to assist with that. Right. So overcoming that barrier is so important. And a lot of people don't realize that folks might have a chemotherapy treatment plan that spans over a year, 6 months. They might have daily radiation. So that takes a lot of effort to get to those. And a lot of times they financially might not be able to have their spouse miss work to drive them to their treatment.
Perfect.
They might not have a friend or a loved one or a neighbor. So that's why it's so important that we talk about the Road to Recovery program too. We have a critical need for volunteers in the Pasco County area, the Hillsborough County area, and as well as the Pinellas County area.
How would they get involved in that? Do they just come to you at a website or call you?
That's a really great point. I love to speak with all of our volunteers that are interested. They can actually get in touch with me directly by calling me at 813-319-5917. To become a Road to Recovery volunteer, you have to be between the ages of 18 and 85.
I think we could probably handle that.
Yeah. Well, I got to say it, though. have a vehicle. There's a training. Show proof of insurance. And we actually do a background check on all of our volunteers. So once that happens, we takes about 5 to 10 business days for us to process that. And then you can truly start making that impact and driving somebody to their life-saving cancer treatment.
Give that number again.
It's 813-319-5917.
Our guests this morning have been Stacy Kemp and Rob Green on the phone. We're going to see you at the Shops at Wiregrass on October 24th. And Rob, you're not going to get out of this. The pink bra will be waiting for you.
Okay, I'll wear it.
Okay, that sounds great. And in the studio this morning, we want to thank Lauren Oliver, Michelle Stemmler, and of course, Jennifer Howell for being here. It's been great to be involved with you guys for so many years. And I'm so glad to hear that, that was the statistic that I wanted to hear. 35% is huge. And then when you come down and you say that means 200X, it makes an impact.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us and for letting us bring some awareness to these great programs and services and to all the wonderful events in our area.
And let's mention those events one more time. Yesterday it was Pinellas in Vinoy Park, but then we have this walk coming up in Pasco, October 24th, and then so is the Hillsborough County one.
Right. We have the Hillsborough County, downtown Tampa, and then Sarasota, Manatee County on the 24th as well. And that's at the Sarasota Polo Grounds.
If you haven't gotten a team together yet, it's not too late to do that, is it?
No, it's not. You can sign up the day of the walk if you want to.
I was going to say.
Show up and register.
Right.
It's never, ever too late to get involved with your local American Cancer Society. So if you're interested in getting involved for the event, we have our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walks yearly, and we are always taking support and help from volunteers. So any time of year, we are open arms.
And give your website for us one more time, please.
Cancer.org.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning. And like I said, I can't wait to see Rob in the pink bra. Can't wait to, can't wait to continue to support this great program. And I am just in awe of the work that you guys do and so much appreciative of the things that you guys have done.
Well, thank you so much for your support. We really, truly appreciate it. And, we're just so happy to have you as a partner here in the community.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us on Sunday morning.